You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, August 22nd, episode 3760, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, we have a light and fluffy show planned for you today. That's what we like here on a Friday. We have Jennifer Connor, host of Equestrian B2B. She started a new project called Rider's Rent, and we'll find out all about that. And then Noche Miller returns to the show to tell us about her world records. She has one with a horse and one with a cow. And we're going to find out about that today, too. Plus, some really bad ads coming up at the end of the show. A couple of things before we get started with Daily Winnies. I've had several people say that I should write a book. I should write an autobiography because, you know, Jennifer and I have had a colorful life. Let's just put it that way. And the whole Horse Radio Network thing and everything. And I'm going to discuss this with Jamie because Jamie knows that I'm a terrible writer. I am an awful writer. Now, people say, well, you could get a ghostwriter, like have, you know, somebody ghostwrite it, right? But I think the only people that would care about this are people that listen to this show. And that's a very limited, as books go, that's a very limited audience, right? For the work involved. So I just don't see me writing a book. I really don't.
I like to, first, there's a couple things. Because I've heard, oh, you should write a book. And the problem with writing a book is you have to relive everything. And there's things that you don't want to relive. I've tried to forget crap for ever.
Not only do you have to relive it once, but then there's the editing process. You have to relive it 10 times.
Then promoting and all that. And it's a long road. So that's number one. Number two, I would like to think and take this moment to let everybody know that my autobiography is the past 3,759 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my autobiography. That's what I'm leaving behind.
Maybe I can just run all the episodes through AI and have it write the book for us.
There you go. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Because it would probably be a better writer than us anyway, right? I mean, be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to relive stuff. And it sounds like I have some sordid past where I was like, I mean, I've never been to prison. It's not like I've been this horrible criminal, but there's just stuff that and I'm sure I'm not alone, but that stuff that wakes you up at 4 o'clock in the morning where you're like, I can't believe I said that one thing to that person back when I was, 15 years old. And I have to go, that person doesn't remember these things. But
Taylor Swift made a fortune writing songs about them.
I know. She, you know what? I'm making a fortune doing a podcast. So she and I are so similar.
Yeah, you're so alike. Yes.
Twins. But yeah, no. So if you want to write an autobiography, that's cool.
I'm flattered. We're both flattered by people who say that to us because I've gotten this and I got it again in the auditor room the other day. But I'm flattered that you think that I would be worthy of that. I don't think I'm worthy of an autobiography.
I think that there's at least 4 people who would read it.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. See, and the other thing is you don't make money selling books anymore. So it's a long process. I don't know for what. I guess, I don't know.
Well, if you change your mind, I've got some people that I know from Trafalgar Square, and they would probably be more than happy to talk to you.
I think Lisa Wysocki, we know a really good author, right?
She
also knows not to take me on because she wouldn't sell any books. It's not worth the time.
So. Just put your name in the book. It'll
speaking
be fine.
Of books, do you? This is going to blow your freaking mind. You're going to feel old after this. It was 25 years ago that Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and Rupert Grint were officially announced as Harry Potter, Hermione, and Ron. 25 what? Years ago.
That's weird because I vividly remember sitting by the pool at my brother's apartment complex in Atlanta, Georgia, reading the first Harry Potter. And that was not more than 25 years ago. That was like 4 years ago. So I don't know. I think you're wrong.
Your They're all in their like 30s now. It's just crazy. I don't know. Yeah. I still think of them as little kids. And then you see them on TV and doing an interview and like, when did they grow up?
And I know. When did we grow up?
And now they're going to have the new TV shows coming out. And they announced the actors for the new TV show, which apparently is a limited miniseries that's going to follow the books more closely. So I don't know. That's going to be coming out. But that was 25 years ago. There. Oh, now man. You feel old, right?
And you know what's crazy is like my son, he's 12 years old and he has read every Harry Potter book. We've seen every single movie. Like he is, and that just goes to show you like how that unbelievably stood the test of time. I mean, it's just, it's timeless at this point. Kids,
it really is.
25 years ago, the movies came out and the books came out 35 years ago or whatever. And here's my son who's 12 years old reading it like poring over it. He just wrote a paper on one of the books at school.
You know, it's interesting too, the way she wrote those books and, you know, obviously the follow-up movies, but the way she wrote those books, they kind of are timeless. She didn't put things in there that would seem dated, right?
Yeah.
Because she didn't talk about cell phones or any of that stuff, right? I don't even know technically what era these books were set in.
Yeah, there's really no explanation for it, but I will tell you that, you know, what is dated is Lucas and I, we try to get through different things, and there's definitely some episodes that I'm like, skip, but we've started watching Seinfeld, and there's a whole episode
that's gotta seem dated now.
Oh my gosh, like, just there was no cell phones. Friends and Seinfeld, they didn't have cell phones back then. And there's a whole thing about, you know, Jerry walks in, has to check his messages. And Luke is like, what is he doing? I'm like, I know. Shut up. We're old. Leave me alone.
He did that a lot, too. Almost every time he came up, he'd have to check his messages.
He'd check his messages right when he got
rewind.
Home, you know? Yeah.
You're right. You're right about that. You know, yet when I watch MASH, that doesn't seem dated because obviously it was set in a time and an era when you wouldn't think about that stuff, right? But when you watch something like Friends or even Cheers, I tried watching, I did watch a couple episodes of Cheers.
Okay, Chad and I started to get back into it and start watching it. What did you think?
You couldn't get away with doing that series today.
It was so funny.
It's funny, but it's very sexist and all of those things. I mean, I don't know that you could get away with it with today's world.
It's a old ball player that runs a bar. I feel like it's the most real you could possibly get. But yeah, you couldn't show on TV now.
No.
Oh my gosh, it makes me so happy. It is so funny. I just look back and I'm like I'll be making drinks for Chad. I'm like, what do you want? Would you like a bruised cucumber?
It is a good show.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. We love it. This is not TV talk of the 80s.
This is Off Track Friday. Let's do this. I do have some auditor birthdays today. Amanda Young, Rebecca Hodgetts, and Janelle Cameron. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific weekend.
Okay, you guys. You've been wanting to know the results. And I've got to tell you, I let my new employee, I came clean with her.
Oh, you told her you did a podcast?
There's a whole drama about, you know, farm boy left, and now I have a new girl working for me, and it was like, what should we call her? Because farm boy, it just farm girl sounded weird to Glenn.
It sounded weird to you, to be honest.
a little less, but like I was like, I'm the farm girl. Turns out I'm farm old lady, okay? Yeah. So I came clean to her, and I was like, listen, I need your help with something. I do this podcast, and she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, don't listen. Like, just don't listen. It's too much me. If you know me and you listen, it's just too much me. So don't listen. However, I tend to have a name for whoever is here, and I told her that Farm Boy had been retired now, so she needs a name. And she was 100% on board. Like, no, I mean, first of all, that's a very weird conversation to have with somebody. Be like, I'm going to be talking about you on the radio, on the podcast, and I don't want anybody to know who you are. It's just easier to have a name for you. And she immediately wanted the name Farm Girl.
Did she?
Like, Farm Girl. Yes. And I was like, my co-host thinks it's kind of creepy. She was like, it's not creepy. Stupid. I was like, yes.
Well, there we go. That makes it easy anyway.
Yeah. So I did love these suggestions. And I did love to suggest, somebody sent me a suggestion of you should, to keep the Princess Bride theme going, you should call her Buttercup. And I was like, I
too close
love
to Butters
that.
Now.
Yeah. Well, now I have a horse named Butters, but also like nobody would get it. Like, why do you call this person Buttercup? Like that seems.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but I've never watched that movie. So I, you know.
Wait, no, hold on. Let me stop you. All this time, for all these years, we've been talking about Farm Boy and you've never seen The Princess Bride?
No. I just thought we were calling him Farm Boy.
Put your wife on right now.
She's not here.
I need
Sorry.
To talk to her.
I don't think she's seen it either. Do you see Jennifer sitting down and watching The Princess Bride?
Let me just tell you. Okay, here. Okay, so in a former life, and this is the autobiography
days. We can't get away from movies
days.
And TV today.
No, it's a Friday. Okay, so I worked for the Atlanta Braves, and I used to do the entertainment in the plaza, like before the games, and we'd have, you know, the drum members and the band, and every once in a while, I would do a like live via satellite interview with one of the players, and they were down in the, you know, locker room, or whatever, and they'd have a camera on them, and it would be broadcast to the outfield, which is where I was. And I would have to ask questions, and I would let little kids come up and ask questions of these Braves players. And I had this one particular player on, and I said, when a little kid comes up and he goes, Matt Diaz, what's your favorite movie? And from the top of the outfield in the big screen, this manly, masculine Braves player, Matt Diaz, looks down at this little kid and he goes, my favorite movie is The Princess Bride. And the whole place went silent.
I bet
silent.
It did.
And I looked up at him and
they're
I go,
expecting Top Gun or something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I looked up at him and I said into the microphone and I'm on camera and I go, Wesley, Wesley. Dead silence. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And he looks at the camera and he goes, yes, Buttercup. And I was like, yeah, the whole crowd erupted with applause. And I was like, this could have been the most horrible moment of my entire life. But if a Major League Baseball player can get on and tell people that his favorite movie is Princess Bride, I just watched it with one of Lucas and his friends. Chad loves the movie. I just can't possibly go on without you seeing either The Man from Snowy River or The Princess Bride. So you pick. What's it going to be right now? You tell me because you're going to watch it tonight. Let's go.
Which one seems less dated? Probably Princess Bride.
Well, The Man from Snow River takes place in the 1800s.
Oh, okay. So that's dated now. Yeah.
And The Princess Bride takes place in nobody
knows
when.
Oh, we're breaking
when.
Up. I'm sorry. You're losing your connection. You have Listen, terrible internet today, Jamie.
Glenn,
I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Monday morning, you will come on and give me a synopsis of the movie, and I'm going to ask you questions that you can't AI and find out the answers for, and you're going to have to give us a movie review and maybe sit down with your wife and do, I want
oh,
a
yeah.
dual movie
okay.
review.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Glenn, I'm not kidding. This whole time we've been talking about Farm Boy and Farm Girl and Buttercup
no
and all this, you've never even seen the movie.
Let's get back
really
to the original
gonna,
topic. So we're calling her Farm Girl?
I'm sorry. I'm lost right now. Yeah. So Farm Girl it is.
Okay.
Shut up. I'm mad at you right now. I don't care anymore. I forgot what I was talking about because I'm so shocked.
Apparently there were other people in Atlanta had never watched it either. So
everybody has seen The Princess Bride, Glenn. Everybody.
All right. It's probably not even available anymore. It's so old.
It is available. You can find it anywhere.
Okay. I believe you. Hey, we need to ask the listeners a favor, don't we?
Yeah, tell them how many of you have seen Princess Bride, and it will be all of them.
I bet all of our audience has seen Princess Bride. I'll give you that. So last week, I did some one-on-ones with past hosts of the Horse Radio Network, and it seemed to go over very well. And instead of doing best dubs while we're away, we thought we'd try and do more of these one-on-ones, get them recorded ahead of time. And we're going to have a week in October where I'm away, and Jamie's doing her clinic out at her farm. Is it sold out, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So Jamie's going to do the one-on-ones that week, and you just want some ideas of who might be good to do one-on-ones with, right?
Yeah, so basically we're going to have an hour-long conversation, me and the mouse in my pocket. I'm going to have an hour-long conversation with somebody and would love your input on who you want to hear from. And it has to be somebody, I mean, yes, would I like to sit down with Wesley from The Princess Bride, which is, by the way, streaming on Amazon Prime Video and Disney Plus and pretty much anything else you want to find it in? Go ahead, yes. But would I like to sit down with Wesley or the man from Snowy River, Jim Craig? Yes, I would, but that's not like a thing. Like they won't.
Yeah,
they
let's
won't
be practical. Back. Should we tell them a couple ideas we did have and let us know what you think of them?
Yeah.
So, two ideas you had, right?
Yeah. So you had the idea of sitting down with Nelda from Horse and Hound Rescue, and I think it'd be interesting we've had her on, but to sit down and kind of like discuss like how she came up with the idea of doing the thoroughbred and the senior dog rescue, how that came up. I mean, how. The whole kind of genesis of that kind of episode in her life, because she's not 25, you know, like she's retired and she did this with her husband in retirement. So I think that'd be interesting.
Well, and what'd she do before? You know, I think that would be interesting because we've all supported her over the years that have listened to this show for a long period of time. So, no more than you, obviously, but we've all donated, and hundreds of them have taken horses from there. So,
yeah, you know, and that's the thing too, is, you know, when you're dealing with horse rescues, there's so many times that they are like, when you get there, you're like, if this horse was rescued and it lives here, what was it living in? Mm. You know, because like really bad. This place is amazing. And they love the horses and they take great care of them. And it's awesome. So we could sit down with her. I also would love to pick the brain of Olympic gold medalist Dad Coffin and kind of his whole, because he has a very different journey than most of those guys that were Olympians from that era. You know, they would coach and teach and do clinics and all this. And he went a whole different way with just trying to kind of improve the world with all his technology that he's created. And I'm wearing my EOL right now. So I definitely would think it would be interesting to talk to him. And we need more suggestions, because what if these people won't do it? We don't know. So any ideas?
Yeah, let us know. You can email jamie@horseradionetwork.com or me, glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and let us know what your suggestions are. All right, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and we're going to go to our first guest.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Well, Kentucky Performance Products has a new... It's like they make these commercials for me, Glenn. It's like so timely in my life. Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that can help. Formulated using a blend of high quality potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is a research proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory functions. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet. Visit kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, we have coming up first on the show today, Jennifer Connor, and you know her as the host of Equestrian B2B. That's the podcast here on the Horse Radio Network. You've been doing that for how many years now, Jennifer?
Since 2021.
Wow. Okay.
So, a while. Yeah. We're coming up on our 100th episode pretty soon.
You're 100 episodes further than most people do when they start podcasts. So there you go. But we're not here to talk about that today. We're here to talk about a brand new website you started. And what's it called?
It is called Riders Rent.
And what's it do?
So Riders Rent is a peer-to-peer equestrian clothing rental platform. So I know that's a mouthful, but think of like Airbnb and Turo instead of Rent the Runway. Because what we're trying to do is connect equestrian closets across the U.S.
So If I'm going to a show and I don't want to buy $1,000 worth of stuff, then I can rent it?
Yes. And what we're trying to do is, promote sustainability, where you're kind of looking in your own closet. Like for me, I'm not horse showing right now and have a lot of stuff that I brought in from Europe that's expensive. It's sitting there doing nothing. I don't really want to sell it because I probably will go back in the show ring. So I'm like, what can I do with this? So I have a partner. She has actually been on my podcast because she developed an app. Her name's Chelsea Dexter. And she and I actually connected through Equestrian B2B. And we were talking about problems in the equine space. And this was one of them, struggles with show clothes, sizing, kids growing out of clothes. And we said, you know what? Let's build a platform, but we don't want to have inventory in stock ourselves because we live in two different locations and the logistics just didn't make sense. So we were like, what's the next best thing? So I found a company in New York City called Pickle, and they rent out like high fashion bags, shoes, dresses. And we were like, well, perfect. Like people can rent out each other's equestrian clothing. So whether it's English, Western, saddle seat, we wanted to help the community.
Okay, so let's say I have a shad belly, which are very expensive, and I'm like you.
By the way, let me just stop you. I would love to see you in a shad belly. Right.
Yeah.
I think I'd look good in a shad belly, actually. So I got this, but I'm like you. I'm not showing so much anymore, but I don't want to sell it, so I can rent it out. So I actually would sign up and list it on your site?
Yes. Okay. So you can go and you can sign up. And you, when you sign up, you get a page to be a buyer and a page to be what we're calling a seller right now, because it's getting so confusing between renter, rentee. So we termed it buyer and seller. And so if you have different spots on the platform, so you can see what you're actually renting, what you're renting out, and you sign it up, you get to list it. You can list it for whatever you want to list it for, whether that be rent for days, rent for weeks. There's a refundable deposit that you get to determine how much. You also get to put
in the
notes.
And that's to reserve it for that period of time, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yep. And just to make sure that nothing gets damaged. I mean, obviously, we're fully insured and have coverage for things like that, but we want to put it in the hands of whoever's renting it out, how valuable that is to you. And then you can kind of put notes in. Do you want it to come back cleaned or not cleaned? We were like split on this because we were initially like, oh, we think that people should just send it back. And I've had some friends who said, well, I don't want to deal with cleaning it when it comes back. But I've also had friends who said, well, I don't want anybody else to clean it. And I also don't want anybody else's dry cleaner to dry clean it if it has to be dry cleaned. So, we're leaving a lot of it into your hands to determine how you want this interaction to go.
This is such an interesting concept, and I know it would have been a little difficult to put the back end of this together. So I am in charge of, so let's go back to my shad belly, which I look fantastic in.
Right.
Jamie now wants to rent my shad belly for some reason, and we're the same size. I mean, we're not even close, but let's make believe. So I ship it to her then after she signs up for it?
Yeah. So once she decides that she wants to rent it from you, she will go on. She'll decide how she wants it. Does she need it fast? Does she need it like USPS, whatever's available in your area? You will pay for the shipping right there, determine what kind of shipping that you want. So if you're a planner, you can plan ahead and it can take, you know, a 3-day ship, where if you're not and you need it express, there's an express option. And once that transaction is done, there's a notification to you renting it out, and you're able to generate the labels right there in the platform. So then you can send it out however it is, whether that's USPS or UPS or FedEx. We have integrated a program called Shippo. So it just depends on what's available in your area.
Oh, so I don't even have to worry about like going in and signing up and getting label printed and all that stuff. That's great. Yep. I mean, that makes it easy for me. So if I get it back and Jamie has, Jamie, what did you say to me right before we started recording today? What are you covered in?
Poultice.
Poultice. So if I get this back and it's covered in poultice and the fabric has disintegrated and now there's holes in it because Jamie rented it from me, what happens then?
It's fairly legit.
No, that's definitely a concern that we had originally. And so you'll just contact, you'll send an email to us and say, hey, like, don't release that. This is the condition that came in. And then we'll step in and get involved in keeping the deposit, helping you with the replacement of it and dealing with the other side with the person.
So you have the insurance for that.
Yes.
As the person who runs the website.
Yeah, okay. We have the insurance, but also we have the deposit. So, and if there's like, if your deposit is not enough to cover it, then we'll, you know, work on that with you. Also, insurance is such a funny thing. And I have my insurance, my property insurance license, because I sort of on the side sell horse insurance if any of my friends need it. But when I was going through this process, they were having a hard time understanding. But basically, when it's in your house, it's under your insurance. When it gets shipped, it's under the shipper's insurance. When it's in somebody else's house, it's under their homeowner's insurance. But we have both liability and cyber insurance to cover any of this if something happens.
You know where I can see this probably working really well is in the Western. I just got back from WESA, so I'm thinking about Western wear, right? Is in the Western, especially the high-end blingy wear, because they tend to not want to wear the same things all the time for the shows all year. And and those shirts, I mean, Jamie, you looked at some not too long ago. They're expensive. I mean, they're really expensive.
Have you seen the TV show, because I just have to bring this up because people are thinking it, I'm sure, the TV show Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like basically rent a swag for equestrians.
We definitely just, I think it's something that it's needed. It's like a good time for it too, because what I also envision, there's a couple of things. One, I think it could generate a whole separate revenue for tack shops. Because even if they're doing some kind of rental now, which a lot of them aren't, even if they're doing it, they're not getting the national platform, right? They're probably in their local area. So this opens it up across the country, and it's on our dime of marketing that they're doing it. So, you know, putting it on our platform really isn't a risk to them. It's really kind of getting it out there for them. Secondly, I can also see parents who do invest in clothes in their kids and they outgrow them quickly. And maybe they have another child that will eventually grow into it and they don't want to just get rid of it. So they could make a little money off of it to help with those horse funds, like a little side hustle.
You know where I see this really working? But by the way, it works for Tommy. So, I mean, I think it's going to work for you.
It's got to work here.
So I could see this in the Western world. Like, oh my God, because those people spend thousands of dollars on their outfits and then they need a new one by the next weekend, you know? So if there could be like a circular kind of Western blingy show clothes market, that's that is totally like where I see this really killing it.
And I also think for like IEA, IHSA and pony finals. Right. Those kids want to wear fancy shad bellies. And like I even had a friend recently who said, oh, man, my kid's going to pony finals and the Charles Anaconda jackets are so expensive. I don't want to buy her one because she's going to outgrow it next week. So she ended up taking the kid's jacket and having somebody local like put piping on it. So it looked like that jacket.
Good mom.
But, you know, this would be an option for her. I've had a lot of my friends who have kids say, you know what, for pony finals, like those expensive shad bellies would be amazing.
Wow. This is, you know, Jamie, how many websites have we talked about on this show over the last 15 years? Probably hundreds. And a lot of times they're just the same thing over and over again. This is the first time I've ever seen anything like this. So good for you. We like to see something new occasionally. This is great.
Yeah, I think we're really like the first ones to have this peer-to-peer rental platform. I'm sure others will follow, but it's been a year in development. It wasn't like an easy task.
No, this back end on this wouldn't be easy. No.
Yeah, no. It's pretty complicated.
There's some databases in there.
Yeah, exactly. And we're learning more every day. And I mean, we're less than 3 weeks old at this point. So we've gotten a lot of traction and we're really happy people are spending time on the site.
Are people listing their stuff?
Yeah, people have started listing their stuff. We've got some kids' stuff, some shirts, a shad belly. So if you're interested and you want to try.
That's mine. I put mine up there. Yeah. Well, this is great. I think this is fantastic. Thanks. I wish you the best of luck with this because I love that it's something different. It's something new, and it's really there to help people save money in the long run. And you handle all the transactions. So the credit card charge goes through you. Then you pay out the renter. The rentee pays you, and then you pay out the renter.
Yeah. So it's all going through like a Stripe and a PayPal system, and we kind of make sure the funds are there. And then for us, we're currently taking out a very small commission just to get users on board, and we'll see how it goes. There's so many ideas on how you could do it, whether it become a membership platform or depending on the number of things that you you put on there, you list or you rent out. Like, we can change our structure of how we're going to make finances. But right now, we just like want it to be out there.
You're going
to
learn along the way. This is the problem with doing things for the first time. That's how I got the name Glenn the Geek, because I was always doing things for the first time, is you have to figure them out, and you're just gonna have to roll with the punches and change with it as it goes along. It's great. And I it might not be bad either to have a little sales section on there too if somebody wants to sell their stuff.
And so right now the platform, it can rent, and you can rent to sell that item, but you can't just list a sales item. And we're going to work towards putting it to make it just a sales item. But right now, the way the platform was designed, we really just had rentals in mind. But if you have something you want to rent out, but you would also be willing to sell it, you can list it both ways.
So let me get this right. Jennifer, who hosts a business podcast, is thinking outside the box and starting a new business. I love this. This is great. This is perfect.
Thanks. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
And it's ridersrent.com. It's riders, R-I-D-E-R-S, rent.com is where you find the website. It's very well done.
Thank you.
And it's very well laid out. I can tell you put a lot of thought into this because building a website that actually works is hard too. So good job, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me on.
And you can find your podcast on all the podcast players, Equestrian B2B, right?
Yes. And we're out twice a month on the 1st and the 15th.
If you want to learn a little bit about doing business in the equestrian world, that's the podcast for you. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage those costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you the financial peace of mind you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals that accept the card, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care. Subject to credit approval, and to learn more, apply at carecredit.com/vetmed. carecredit.com/vetmed. Our next guest up today is a returning guest. She's been on with us a couple of times. She came on several years ago to talk about whirls, and we learned everything there is to know about whirls. And I remember after that, there was an entire conversation in our auditor room about whirls and everybody posting pictures of the whirls. And then we had you on talking about trick training horses. Today we have you on. It kind of ties into trick training horses, but you're a multiple world record holder because of trick training horses. Right?
Yes. Trick training horses, training cows, anything I can get to eat treats from my hand.
Anything you can get to do tricks. So yes. Where are you located again?
I am in Western Nebraska.
And this is Noche Miller. So you have the record for the most tricks performed by a horse in 3 minutes. Is that a new record? Was it one that existed that you tried to, where'd that come from?
It is a new record. They had set a limit, a base number of, I think it was 24 tricks that we had to perform in order to set the record. And my horse did 33. We were trying for 34, but there was one of them that we didn't quite make in there.
And tell us about your horse, and then we'll get into more about the tricks.
My horse is Rusty. He is a 13-year-old Morgan gelding. I got him as a three-year-old. He was a major trouble child. He bit, he ran people over. He could not be handled. He absolutely could not be round pinned because it didn't matter what you did. He wouldn't turn. He would just keep going right through you, right through whips, right through anything you offered. And he was very difficult to work with until we discovered trick training. And the trick training turned him around completely.
And you would think a horse that doesn't want to turn, going around pen, do any of that stuff would be terrible at trick training, right? I mean,
yeah, but you got to remember, she said Morgan, and Morgan equals food motivated.
That's
it
true.
Just is.
Well, yes, he does rather like his food.
So you took this horse that you could barely work with. How long did it take to get to the point where he was doing some cool stuff?
You know, I got him, I think, in January, and I spent a few months trying to work with him traditionally in the way I'd always trained horses. And I was about to give up when we discovered trick training. That was, a few months of regular training. And then within just a couple more months of trick training, he was doing all kinds of tricks. He loved fetch. That was his first trick that we started with, not what we recommend.
I always wanted to have a pony that played fetch, and I've never gotten that accomplished.
You know, it is so much fun and incredibly useful. I've dropped gloves and stuff while I'm riding, and he notices that they fall, and he'll stop and go back for them before I even know I lost a glove.
Does he turn his head around and hand it to you then?
Yes.
Okay, that's handy. If you drop your whip or something, that's really handy. I like that. So do you ride him at all? Is he rideable, or is he just tricks at this point? He says, no riding for me.
He is a working ranch horse and a cow horse.
Oh, wow.
In his spare time. He has one job helping me teach trick training, and then a second job being a ranch horse.
Okay, so what kind of tricks did you do? What kind of tricks are in the 33 that set the world record?
Oh boy, that's a lot to remember. He did stay, spin, front feet on pedestal, fore feet on pedestal, and just hind feet on a pedestal. Those all counted separately. He did kiss, smile, fist bump with his knee, not hoof. Hoofs actually hurt to fist bump with. I discovered that the hard way. He can paint, play piano, ring a bell, wave a flag.
He plays the piano. Do you have a great big piano, or do you have one of those piano things that are on the ground and then he goes?
I have a little kid keyboard.
And he plays it with his lips?
Garage sale. Yes, yeah. He plays it with his nose.
So if you're doing all these, do you have them set up like in a row? Like here's the pedestal, here's the piano, here's the flag, here's the, like in a row so they could just run through it?
Yes, that was what took the most time of all. It was figuring out what order they had to be in to go through them the quickest and flow the most smoothly from one trick to the next so we could manage to get these all in 3 minutes. Wow. He knew the tricks. He can do all the tricks and lots more in a lot more time.
So do you give him a cookie in between each trick, or do you just like, you got to do them all, buddy, and you get a big treat at the end?
Somewhere in the middle there. We do so many and then a trick and then a cookie and then so many tricks and then a cookie. Yep. And try to keep him happy. He gets stressed if he has to keep going without being told that he's doing good and get his reward. But few enough that it's going fast enough that we can get the time in.
So Noche, if I want to do a world's record, did you contact them? How do you get that process started?
Yes, you contact them. They have a great website. You have to create a profile and then send in a request to do the record. And everything takes, they guarantee it will take 2 weeks before they respond to you and a few months before they approve the record and a few months before they approve the record attempt that you want to try for. And then a few months afterwards to tell you if you have it or not. It's a very long, drawn out process.
Do they send somebody to watch it, or do you have to film? How's that work?
You have to film it. You have to have, for us, because we were moving, everything was in kind of a circle so we could go around it quickest. And we had to have video from every direction, every angle to show a good view of the trick. You have to have timers, multiple timers and multiple witnesses. It was harder work than a horse show. You have to get everybody together. You have to hope that the weather will work. The wind came up and was just howling when we did it. And he was fine with that. He took it very well. The witnesses and stuff all kind of hid behind windbreaks, but the horse did great.
Wow, that's fascinating. So you have to have multiple cameras going too then, which is easy now. Yes. With phones, right? I mean, it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, the phones did the timing and the filming, and that was much easier.
So congratulations to you and Rusty for a world record. Not too many of us can say we have world records in the Guinness book.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud of him. He's a very good boy. He's come a long ways.
You know, it doesn't hurt because you also, you instruct people on trick training, and that's part of what you do for a living. That's why we had you on the last time. So it doesn't hurt that the woman who's, quote unquote, the expert in trick training actually holds the world record. That's pretty good. That helps. You know, there's some credibility there, isn't there, Noche?
Well, I hope so.
Now, here's some extra credibility, and this is the one I can't believe. You held another world record. What's that one?
Most tricks by a cow in 1 minute.
And how many tricks was that? First of all, I owned cows, and I couldn't get them to do anything except eat. So,
well,
good for
cows
you.
Cows like to eat. That's what makes them so good at trick training. But we did, I think it was 10 tricks. It might have been 11. I can't keep track.
And what kind of tricks do cows do?
Oh, Ghost is so good. She loves to do tricks. She did stay. She did come when called. She ropes herself. I hold the loop up and she puts her head in it. She rope, come when called, stay, spin, fist bump, bow, stand on pedestal, ring a bell, kiss, and say yes. I think that's 10 tricks. I think that's what we did.
Oh, and so you had to go through the same process with that. Nobody's ever going to beat you in that one, by the way. I don't think they.
Well, I don't know about that. There's some really good cow trainers out there.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's cool.
I have a friend who has some cows she's kind of working at it on. She holds the record for most tricks by a horse in 1 minute and most tricks by a sheep. I'm pretty sure it's a sheep, not a goat, in 1 minute.
Do you remember, Jamie, years ago we had Sammy Joe on who jumped her cow?
Yeah, she, I do. We've had a couple people that jump cows on here, yeah. And I've always just been hella jealous because I want to jump a cow.
Well, I just want to ride my cow, but I can't bring myself to do it. When you get on there, I'm used to a big neck in front of you with a mane, and cows just drop straight off in front of you. There is nothing out there.
Oh, so if you're going off, you're going off the front?
Yeah, it's kind of scary looking.
Yeah. Well, Noche, this is so cool. If somebody wanted to get instruction, and you have videos and stuff too, right?
I do, above and beyond the course, the trick training course.
And where do they find it?
Well, I post my horse stuff on Rescuing Rusty on Facebook. And otherwise, I can be found at Horse Tricks 101 on pretty much anywhere.
Horse Tricks 101. All right. That's great. Well, congratulations again. Thanks for coming back and talking about this. This is so much fun. And we really appreciate you doing this for us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right, it is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we have a little bit of fun with ads that are submitted by our listeners, either from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace like that, and we read them and just have a chuckle on a Friday. And we do give away prizes every month, and the following products are provided by horselovers.com. That's horselovers with a Z.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. And this month, we're giving away an Abetta zipper bag with bottle holders. This is a saddle bag put over the back of your saddle. It's a durable polyester saddle bag featuring zippered compartments and includes a solid exterior pocket, one mesh interior pocket, and a key clip plus water bottle pockets on each side.
This, buddy.
I can't get through water. I don't know how I can say water. But it's a really nice bag. It's worth $80, and we're going to be giving that away this month. So we won't get to everybody today because we had 2 weeks worth. Who aren't we getting to today, Jamie?
Susan, Janelle, Susan, another Susan, Brenda, and Kim. But you are going to start with Debbie's.
That's right. You guys are entered in for the prizes, though.
Yeah.
And apparently, Susan, you sent a link that was broke. So it's better to do screenshots. When you send links, sometimes when Jennifer gets them, the ad is down. So she can't, or she can't get to it. So screenshots are usually the best. Debbie sent this one. God. Useless trail horse, unknown age, has a limp. Broke, but an a-hole. Trail horse is about his only profession worth looking at. Good project. 1XXX. So is it really a good project if he's lame and he's useless? I don't know.
I am just trying to have no soul. I have not had enough coffee this morning, or I need Bailey's in my coffee or something, because, like, I don't know, maybe he's an a-hole because he hurts.
Yes, yes, probably that. But then when you look at his picture, it kind of looks like an AI picture where the legs are in the wrong places. Especially his back legs. I don't know what's up with that horse.
Oh, he's just basically a big, cute, fat, black horse with the blaze.
Yeah, and apparently has a limp. And all of that for $1,000. You can have it today.
What a deal. It's like it's free. Michelle sent the next one in. Amanda also sent this one in. And this is AQHA Cowbred Horses Facebook page.
Oh, this could be for you. You're looking for a horse to do cows with.
I have a horse. He's just 4 months old right now. And the Andalusian is going to learn because he needs to do something. For sale, Pearl, the Hellspawn Filly.
Oh, jeez.
Good start. Born 2/27/25, AQHA, APHA papers, registered papers. Papers are still smoking from where she crawled out of hell. Pearl isn't here to make, mind you, this is a foal. There's a picture of a foal.
It's a cute little baby.
Pearl isn't here to make friends. She isn't here to validate your feelings. She's here to punish you for every wrong you've committed in this life and the last. Don't bother showing her your new rope halter or kissing noises. She doesn't give a single damn. Sired by Shooting for Chicks.
Oh my God, Shooting for Chicks. That's great.
Oh, quarter horse names. Sired by Shooting for Chicks, but you'd never know it because she came out with not a drop of white, just a blackened soul and a middle finger to her lineage. Disappointment? That's her brand. Personality highlights? Satan's daughter. Confirmed. Independent as hell and proud of it. No regard for your ego. She will shatter it. Probably smarter than you. Definitely meaner. They say the mean ones make the best horses. Well, Pearl is your opportunity to test that theory. Buy her if you hate yourself or if you've got a masochistic streak a mile wide. That's hard to say. Streak a mile wide. She comes with a complimentary bottle of whatever you drink because you'll need it. Trust me. Eligible for NARS, NRBC, and NRHA in case you want to test the limits of your life insurance in the show pen. $9,000.
What?
Price negotiable depending on how much therapy you'll need after meeting her.
I'm going to need therapy after paying $9,000 for what you just described.
If you remember, I had a foal that he was a young male colt, and if you would walk in the stall with him, he would rear up and come at you with his front legs. He was just that happy to see you. And if you remember, I had Monty on this show to talk about it, and he basically was like, just leave him alone. Leave him alone until you can castrate him. And so I ignored him. I just started to ignore him. And 2 weeks, I ignored him. And after that, he was the sweetest angel baby. So that being said, to this person who has Pearl the Hellspawn Filly, just leave her alone. Because in the picture, they're like rubbing all over her and touching on her and stuff. Leave her alone. Just leave her alone. That's what Monty says to do. There you go.
Well, Monty would also say not to pay $9,000 for a Hellspawn Filly either.
So that's true.
There's that. That's true. I mean, we have that problem.
Yeah.
So I was really expecting $500 when you got to the end of that. I really was.
Yeah.
Paige sent this one in. Elvis needs to leave the building. We have a theme today. This is Elvis. He's a middle-aged pony. I purchased him as a pasture companion, but things have gone south. I need him gone. If you want a project pony or you want to put your kids off ponies forever, Elvis is your man. I guarantee whatever particular training problem you want to solve, and even some you've never thought of, Elvis will demonstrate it. Alternately, every undesirable trait generally accepted to permanently eliminate a kid's horse obsession, Elvis has that too. Leads and loads using the team method. Bring your own team.
I was like, what is team?
Oh my God, it's this little tiny paint pony with that.
It's like a little Shetland.
You see the eyes though? Oh my God, those eyes are, I'm going to hate you forever.
To be honest, I want Elvis. Paige, where is Elvis? I need Elvis.
Oh my God. We have a theme today.
Oh my God.
Hellspawn ponies.
If you're near me, I want Elvis. Let me know where he is. Susie sent the next one in, and also Kayla sent this one in, and this is Horse Trailers for Sale in Michigan Facebook page. I mean, it would be nice if I could see the whole thing, but it's completely... not completely, but there's a fair portion that's grown over by vines.
Yes, they didn't even take the vines off of it.
You can see the tires, which are flat. It's a... Okay, let me read the title of the thing here. Someone come and buy this trailer. Great condition. Pulse like a dream. Moving in. Need in. Gone bad. No title. Don't need one. 4,000. I don't know what you just said, but basically it's a bumper pull... four horse.
I think it's one of those old steel ones, too, that are super heavy.
This thing is 9 million pounds.
Yes. And it's buried. The wheels are buried up to the axles. You're going to need a crane to get it out of the hole it's in.
It doesn't have a ton of rust, but it has a lot of mold.
Yeah.
So you had to deal with that. And also, the vines have grown around it. Like, I mean, it's like the tree wants it. You can't have it.
Oh, I guarantee there's vines inside, too. There's no. You can't even see the hitch. I don't even know if it has one because it's completely overgrown. But the tires.
My gosh.
I love how it pulls like a dream. Not with those tires, it doesn't.
It pulls like a nightmare. Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Brooke sent this one in.
Bruce and Sandy did too.
What's that?
It's Brooke and Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. That's right. Bruce has been well taken care of his whole life, but knows what a day of work riding and driving is. He's taken Amish kids to school uphill both ways in snow, sleet, rain, and Category 5 hurricanes, and dodging tornadoes. He's not a tall dude, only 13 hands, but my man here has some body to him, like he can pack an adult. He kind of looks skinny to me in that picture.
I kind of think he can't pack an adult, considering there's like a 6'4" human on him, and he looks like a tiny little
shinkatink
pony.
He's in the sweet spot at 14 to 15 years young. Bruce is Swiss Army knife of a pony. He'll do all the fun little things and is handy to have. Seemingly, Bruce has seen it all and laughs in the eye of danger. He's just the opposite of all the other horses we had today. Good training or hard-earned survival skills? I'm not completely sure.
Aww,
Bruce, God bless him. He has earned a second career and a vacation, as well as a stiff drink.
Oh, Bruce, I love you. Oh, and he's so cute. Get that.
Kind of has a little bit of Hackney look to him, actually.
He looks like a Chicatique pony. Like, he looks tiny, and his neck is 4.5 inches long. And the Western saddle this girl is riding him in has slid up above his shoulder blades. Like her butt is on his withers, and she's just trotting along.
She's gonna need roller skates soon too to ride him, because her feet are on the ground. So he's a little one. Oh, I feel bad for Bruce. Bruce, you want to come play with Scooter? You and Scooter would get along great.
You and I both have adopted horses today from really bad ads. Sherry sent this one in, Cow Pusher 600. And this is, what is it, like an equine now ad or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't recognize the format, but it says $600, okay? Listed in Kalamath Falls, Oregon. Details, condition, used. Pending sale, wow. Needs a home where she is used almost every day. Has a whole lot of go. It's hard to tire this one out, which is what she needs. Needs a strong, confident person. What is it? How old is it? How tall is it? What kind is it? It's a picture of a horse that was taken from somebody sitting on a taller horse. And so the picture is like down, and it's a little bay horse with a giant man riding it. And it's walking, so it looks pretty tired. Would you say it looks tired?
Yeah, its head's hanging. I mean, it looks like a nice, quiet little horse, actually.
Aww. Oh, I can't do it. I'm not.
Well, the sale's really pending, so today. Somebody's buying this one. We always say, does somebody actually buy these things? Apparently.
Sounds good.
Now, it's while cute. I'm reading this ad, you have to look at both pictures. There's two.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Kelly sent this one in. 35.
Oh, God.
3,500 or best offer, negotiable for uncomplicated sale. 11-year, 15-hand buckskin grade QH. He was supposed to be a ranch broke horse. I bought him sight unseen, and he is not. My bad. Sounds like you. No riding videos. All the pics I have of him are attached. Change his bit, do some sort of magic groundwork, or ride the snot out of him. He is a project and sells as is where it is. Must come and see him in person, not letting someone else make the same mistake I did. But no, you can't test ride him. Now, the first picture, describe that one.
It's just a really nice little buckskin with a very small saddle on him, but he does look kind of irritated. So it's a buckskin standing there with the saddle on. Breast collar, a halter, and somebody is holding him off to the side. The second picture is the lower half of the horse because he is standing on his hind legs and is reared out of the picture. Now,
with a rider.
With a rider. And the rider is, are they barefoot?
No. Let me read the one comment, and this will answer your question. The one comment is, from what I can see, the issue here is his Crocs weren't in sports mode. He's wearing Crocs.
Okay. So it's a guy riding this buckskin in shorts and Crocs, and the horse is currently rearing out of the picture. You can't see the head or the head of the human. It's just a dude in Crocs. I bet this horse is fine. He's fine.
See, the back of the saddle is about 10 inches off the horse.
Yeah.
That picture,
yeah,
too.
The saddle doesn't fit. This is a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
A hot mess. Again, another horse I need. Dang it.
You're going to be saving a lot of horses today.
Oh, I'm not set up for it today. Diana sent this one in Winter Haven, Florida. 7-year-old mini mule gelding. Not trained to lead, tie, load, groom, clean hooves, feed treats, pet. There may well be other things he isn't trained to do, but these are just what we tried so far. A local professional trainer has advised us he is suitable as a pasture guardian or YouTube mule sensation living illegally in a backyard in Port St. Lucie.
It is the cutest little, I guess they're calling it mini mule.
It's basically, it looks like the donkey from Shrek staring at the camera.
Yes.
Like its nose is like, it's like a nose photo, you know, where you're like, boop. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So
and it's
cute.
Really cute, but its eyeballs look like it's wild.
Like it's going to take you out anytime.
I've never heard somebody say not trained to.
And do any of those things.
List a bunch of things. There may be other things he doesn't do, but these are what we've tried. Notice he didn't say they tried to ride him. He's not trained to lead,
no.
Tie, load,
he
groom,
looks tiny.
Clean ups, feed. He's not trained to eat treats. Or pet.
Well, you found some really bad ads today, everybody. You lived up to your assignment. And if you want to find some for next week, send them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. We do appreciate it. Auditors, hang on. We're going to do a bit of a post show here. We have no idea what we're talking about. But I do have a quote to close the show. And this seemed appropriate. It's by Bo Derek, of all people. But this did seem appropriate for horse people, especially some that we know. This is the quote. Whoever said that money can't buy happiness simply didn't know where to go shopping.
Amen, sister.
Doesn't that apply to horse people?
And to Bear, Bo is a horse chick.
Oh, that's true.
Even
yeah.
better.
Well, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here on Monday.
All right, spay, neuter, geld. You have to watch Princess Bride.
Okay. I'll try.
It's so good.
I gotta stay awake.